phone?
No.
Okay. Good to be with you all. My goodness, I'm going to go ahead and extend part of the invitation. If you're visiting with this church, don't visit no more anywhere else. Just, wow, it's been a long time. What a wonderful communion service we had, and the singing and the special singing, and what I love is to see all ages involved, men and women involved in the service. Amen. That's what we're teaching our kids at Arms of Hope, Bowles Home. I think I'm going to use the word Bowles Home more here than any of the other. I think that name. But thank you all for allowing me to be here. What a beautiful morning. I don't know. Well, you know, when you're here a lot, you probably sort of take advantage. But, you know, I hadn't been here, I think, about 3 years ago. And, you know, it's what a spiritual church this is. And I can tell, and, you know, it's the most boring church I've ever, y'all have nothing going on in this church. I was wore out just thinking, you know, how do y'all keep up with all this? My goodness, it is, that's what the Lord meant it to be, is to, I guess that when we read that Acts 2 verse, and they met daily, you know, that means something. There's something to that meeting almost all the time that brings us closer to God. And so, wow, I'm amazed. Thank y'all again for letting me come. I you know what I wanted to do today, I'm not gonna keep you too long. I wanted to come and just first of all give you a great big thank you for what you all are doing for us for the holidays. And I'll tell you a little bit story. This year, I'll just get quite to the point with this hurricane we had down in Houston. I don't know if you know this, and I'll mention a little bit more in a minute. We have what we call our outreach centers. We have one in the Dallas area, we have one in the Houston area, and in the San Antonio and in Denton. And what these outreach centers are is if we possibly can keep a mother and their children or a child on their own from coming to one of our campuses, if it's possible, and yet we don't want to not get them to come because we know when they come, because of people like you, they're going to be blessed. But if it's possible to continue to bless them, and we can counsel them, and we can teach them the ways of God, but yet we can keep them maybe from having to leave a home or where they are, and to if we can do that, we do that. And that's what our outreach program does. They come to us in Dallas. It's at the office is at the Highland Oaks location in the Dallas area. We counsel. It's just a mini Bowles Home in three or four different areas. And if we can keep them from doing that, praise God. But as long as we know that the same treatment that they would get if they were on the campus, they will get in our outreach centers. And of course, what happens is many a times we realize, no, they got to come on to the campuses. And so it's a wonderful open door. This is a concept that we have just started in the last couple of years, and it's just grown. Well, let me say this. With this hurricane, we ended up helping, had to help over 1,000 families, about 1,100 families in the Houston area that were devastated. And what we ended up having to do is we're having to send them to, we had, because the outreach center in the Houston area, of course, was over, you know, they couldn't handle all the people. So we sent them to San Antonio. We sent them up to Dallas. We sent some up to Denton. And we short-turned them just before and just to see what, and took every single one of them, what are your needs? How can we, you know, move you forward? And the blessings that have come out of that, it's been unbelievable. But that's what we've been doing since this hurricane, and what's happened is it has course stretched every dime we have. But you know what? You know, if it happens again, we'll do it again. It's worth every penny because lives have been touched. People have been baptized. They've been becoming a part of the family of God. And so what is done this year especially is it has stretched us. And so we appreciate every single penny you've sent us. It has gone 100% towards the holidays for our families. And so thank you all for doing it. But I'll just give, especially if you're new to this church, this church is not one that doesn't know about what we do, but I will give you just an update in what Arms of Hope, Bowles Home does, the Medina campus down near San Antonio. But we have several different programs. In the old days, they called them orphans' homes. You know, down at Bowles, they're almost 100 years old. And back in those days, and there's pictures of them, and I can even remember the tail end of it, where you'd go down there and it was bunk style. And they would have 300 to 400 just kids only. Back then, they called them, of course, orphans' homes, and people would drop them off in the night. I know one that was dropped off in the night. She's still alive, and she said I think she was about 3 months old is what they can believe. They woke up in the morning and walked out, and there she was, just left. Well, what happened is she was a family of 7 or 8, and they couldn't afford to take care of them during the Depression, so they would do that. So we had, and of course, a lot of orphans, a lot of parent people died of cholera. They died, you know, some of the things now we don't even think of. And so we had many, many children. In fact, I understand Audie Murphy, when he went to the war, all of his brothers and sisters went to Bowles Home because he, you know, his parents were gone. And so, and he was taking care of them. So that's kind of a little bit of history tidbit. But we were, it place was packed. And there's pictures of them, just the bunk style, military style, in some of those old buildings at the top of the hill especially. But nowadays, we try to, and that's the best they knew how then. But one of the neat things about it, they still tried to do what they can to lead the kids to Christ, to give them what they could for that time. And so many, and it's amazing the people, folks, that I have met through the years. I've been with the home almost 20 years. And I've been around it since not in the mid-60s. But it's amazing some of the people we still meet that were there during those days and maybe shortly after, during the World War II in that area. And some of the stories they tell, it just breaks your heart. And so all of these years, Christians have come together and have supported Bowles Home. And, you know, like it's almost 100 years old. And that's a blessing just in and of itself. But nowadays, these kids, they live in a more of a what we call residential housing, where it's a home just like we all have, 5 to 6, 7 bedrooms. They have house parents, and they come in, and they're there maybe a few months until they graduate from high school. And every case is different. There's no such thing as a deadline when they have to be out. But we do what we can to take care of those kids, to get them on a plan, to be able to get them out one day, and if they have to stay till they're grown, so be it. Praise God. And so, you know, it's just a plan. Of course, we could build to the world ends and never have enough room for our Together program. Y'all mentioned that earlier. Thank you so much for being so involved in that. You know, I understand what it is for every 20 calls for the Together program, we get one call for when the group residential, in other words, where the child would come on their own. So it shows you how much it's switched. It's now broken, battered families, moms with their kids, 1, 2, 5. I know of one that's got 8 kids down at the Medina campus. And it's these days, back, you know, way back, you didn't have as much of that. But nowadays, because of sin in a lot of cases, is that you have women that have been, and it's not that they're innocent all the time, but, you know, it doesn't matter where they were, it's matter where we can take them. And you name it, we've seen it. I was telling a guy, he said, let me tell you, I said, I just stopped him. I said, you couldn't invent a story that we haven't seen. Don't even, you know, just tell me how, what you want us to do and how can we help you make it better. I don't care about what they did. You know, we all know that. And I get that all. Have you ever, do y'all ever see this? Do you ever see that? I said, don't even tell me. I know we've seen it. I don't even need to know. I don't even care. But these moms can come down, and again, I got a call recently. There are tons, folks, especially in North Texas seems to have more than even the South and the Houston area, San Antonio area. I guess I haven't studied why, but there are a lot of short-term places. You know, some of the big ones in the Metroplex are, you know, the Casas, the New Beginnings. You've heard of that. There are plenty, and they're wonderful, but they have a short-term period, 2-3 months. And when their 2-3 months is up, that's it. And we get calls all of the time for, you know, we've got this mom and these 5 kids. Their time is up. There's nothing we can do. We just hate to see them go. We hate to have to say so long. Would you consider? And, of course, we do if we can. And, you know, that, and so many lives have been changed, and we see that all of the time, and up especially in the North Texas area. Now, we're in the way back, a lot of the, especially when you put Arms of Hope all together, the majority of the funds come from the North Texas area. You'd think in San Antonio, Medina, it'd be that area, but it's not, it's Metroplex. And I just think there's some wonderful, good folks up in this part of the country that care about moms and kids, and so we're going to keep doing that. But these moms can come in. Some of the stories they tell us, oh my goodness! And I think, you know, just if we can make a change, you know, until you get to, you will never get to this until you fix this. These moms, these kids. Until their thinking changes, you'll never get here. You can do little short-term, little maybe fix it a little bit, but until you mess with this, and we spend a lot of money trying to fix this, and then hopefully you can get to this. And then from here to here, there's a lot of in-betweens and a lot of time and a lot of money. We spend your money, hopefully the best we know how, and the best, you know, without wasting a penny of it. But we spend a lot of money on trying to fix this. Back in the day, no one even thought about that. It was get them through, get them 18, get them out of here. But that's all they knew back then. There was no such thing as a mother-child or a together program. Just get them, you know, let's get them raised and get them out. Well, that's good for some people, but, you know, you take a child, for instance. This is another part of what we do. We call it our college and career program. You take a child, you know, hadn't been too long ago in anywhere, that, and I love this, probably one of my favorite, I guess it is. You have a child back then, and when they hit 18 or they graduate from high school, that's it. You had to send them on. And so you can say, oh, that's, you know, that's, and we all know that at 18, a kid's brain ain't, they're not adults. The law may say they are, but they're not. And someone said it's 25. I don't know. My daughter just turned 25, and we'll see. But, I mean, actually, just like 3 days ago. And so I'm hoping that there's going to be some major changes. But anyway. But that child can go off to college. We'll make sure they go to school or trade school. Wherever their leanings are towards, we're going to make sure that we get a chance to send them off. But you and I both know that not everybody's college material. Not everybody is trade school material. We have people, I remember years down, I will tell this, Medina, there's a lady back in the 60s that this was our first mother child ever, was back in the mid 60s. She had eight children. Man had left. But she was a type that would never be able to operate on her own. You could send her to college or whatever. Well, she couldn't even got into college, but just things were not right up here and would never be. So we just basically took her on and raised her, her kids. And now all of her kids are grown. Two are very faithful elders in the Lord's church today. A couple of them are doctors. One's a deacon at the Preston Crest Church in Dallas. But what happened is because we didn't let that lady go and say, there ain't nothing we can do. Your mind isn't right. There's nothing, you know, I can just hear back in those days, someone took a chance on her. And now her kids, she's now in her old close to 90. Her kids now are taking care of her here in the Dallas area. Faithful Christians. And it's because of people like you and others that care for people. But anyway, these kids, they go off and they, the stories that I have been told that on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or Thanksgiving or some other special times, sometimes in the middle of the night, knock, knock, knock on the door, and it's a child that was with us. They don't have any place to go. They have no home to go to. It's holiday time. We're all getting fat on the food we're eating, and they're trying to just get to some place because they don't want to spend 2 weeks by themselves. And we're the only home, the only parent they know. And that happens all the time. Our CEO down at the old CEO at Medina campus his wife would go out a couple days before the holidays and just buy a lot of different things because she knew they'd show up. We didn't know who it was, and invariably every time they'd show up. Well, nowadays, folks, if they are not ready to be on their own, they can go to school. If they don't do well, they could go to trade, whatever it takes. If they're not ready yet to be on their own, they can come back. They're over 18. We'll put them back in our program. They still have to obey all the rules. It's strict. There's a lot of conditions that have to be met, but they're given a second chance. And if that means we'll send them to college, up the street here in Commerce or Paris or down there, it's several colleges in the area, or trade school, we'll do that, but they can still come back at night. And they have a home. They have people that love them. A set of house parents oversees them just like if they were 10 years old. They're not there to, you know, it's strict, let me tell you. But they don't have to just be, because you're 18, you're out floundering. And we know what that would lead to in most cases. They're lost. So they give them one more chance. And I think, to me, if as we have evolved from the early 1900s to now, to me that's one of the most valuable things we've got going. But see, it would be a close tie to our Together program. And just to seeing, you know, just seeing these moms and these kids get the chances that they do, and these young men that have no family or women that have no family, being able to just because the law says this, they get another chance to be able to make it in life. And my father was on the board was president of the board for many, many years for Medina Home, and for about 40 years, actually. And I remember him saying so many times, if it costs us a fortune to save one, it's worth every penny. And, you know, he's a businessman. He knows what we really would have to do to make that happen. But in the scheme of things, it's taking care of those that are lost, because someone took care of him. Someone took care of me. Someone's taken care of many, you know, you all in here. And so this church has been able to, and others. And when I say, you've heard me say two or three times, a few others, in the scheme of things, it is a few others. And you got to remember, we don't take a penny of federal funding, not one dime. Everything comes from the church, individuals, businesses that love us. And I'm thinking of, I'll just, I, name was Sandy, about 3 years ago, showed up at one of our campuses, and she had two children with her. And Sandy was a rough person. Never been married. Had these two kids. I remember asking her, you know, where the father? I don't know. Well, are they the same fathers? I don't know. Same father for both? I don't know. And I'm thinking, how would, you know, well, she lived, you know, her life was filled with alcohol and drugs. She didn't know no different. And we're sitting there and I was visiting with her, and our CEO came in and began to talk to her about what we're about, was telling the whole story about churches for all these years, Bowles Home close to 100 years, Medina Home since almost 60 years, and how churches and individuals, because of what God says, to take care of, you know, the widows and the orphans, those in need, this is what we do. And boy, I mean, when he used the word the widows and the orphans, and God, she stopped us. And she said, now, wait a minute. There is no God. I'll never get that finger in the air. I wanted, there was a part of me, oh, Lord, please don't let me hit it. But there was a part of me saying, and she said, let me tell you something. I'll come, but I guarantee you I will never, ever, ever believe in your God. Never. And she was this, and of course these two kids are there, and I'm just thinking, oh, wish I could have closed their ears. But, you know, the damage had already been done, so this, I'm sure, wasn't the first time. Well, we brought her on in. She didn't turn us down for the help. And 6 months rolls around, her person that she called a mother, I don't think her real mother had, I don't even know if she ever knew a real mother, but the person that gave her drugs and the boyfriend that would lay with her, his stepdaughter, she died. And of course we offered, what can we do? Nothing. Why would I want to go back to that? You know, there was just nothing positive. And I could go on them. There's some young ears in here. But about 2 months after that, so she'd been with us close to 8 months, our CEO, and I noticed it too, but I wasn't there as much, noticed that Sandy was very quiet. She's normally kind of a boisterous, sort of loud. She was kind of a delight to be around if she was not thinking just horrible negative thoughts, but most of the time she was. But she was very quiet, and it went on for a few days, and finally the therapist and the CEO, they pulled her in. Sandy, we've noticed that something's different about you. And they said there was a long, long pause. And they thought, well, maybe she's just not going to answer what's going on. And she said, well, part of me is embarrassed to say this. And then there was kind of a more little pause. And of course, this is the way they described it to me. And she said, I hate to say it, but I kind of believe there may be a God. Because, and our CEO said, well, what have you come to the conclusion? She said, well, the only people in my life, I'm just now realizing everything they did was, in the end, either hurt me or they intentionally hurt me. Never did do any good for me. But all I see in this place is what I think y'all call love. I think y'all call love. That's exactly what she said. So then she asked the question, and, you know, I'll sort of close on this because it's kind of a question that we, when there's new folk around that maybe don't know Jesus like they should, she said, "What do I got to do? What do I got to do?" Kind of biblical, isn't it? And boy, it started. Now let me tell you about her now. Even then, it took about 2 months. They studied and studied. Of course, she refused it all. Most people would have kicked her out because she was no joy to be around. And she did cause a lot of problems. You know, she would fight with the other moms. As long as they're not violent where it's, you know, close to where it puts you in jail. But she would have fusses with other moms. Jealousy, oh my goodness. About 2 months later, she was baptized into Christ. Now, she teaches one of the kids' classes at the church. She's involved. You know, she's still learning a lot. But what's happened, folk, is that she, here you had a woman, vicious, hated God, had no concept of God, but because somebody just stopped and took a little time to show her the lighthouse. She's now a faithful Christian. Her children are very, very kind of fun, active kids. I told her recently, I said, "I'm anxious to see what your kids are going to be like when they get a little bit older." And she said, "Well, I want my youngest to be a preacher." And I said, "Well, what about your oldest?" She said, "Well, I don't know. He likes art, so maybe I can get him to paint a lot of Jesus pictures." So, you know, who knows? But I would rather have her thinking that way any day than "I will never learn about your God. I don't even want to hear it." But what a change. And folks, I could go on and on and on. The stories I've seen and heard and witnessed myself, you know, I've seen mothers with their faces slashed, blood pouring, and I'd get them and take them down to Parkland, and just, you know, some of the stories I could tell. I could go on all day. But I think, I want to reaffirm to you all, number one, a great big thank you for what you do. But I also wanted you to know that because of a few people like you, lives are being changed. We do our best not to waste your dime. We're going to continue to do what we can to make, you know, an influence in someone's life. And someone, you take someone like Sandy, who you had never dreamed would make a decision. She did. And I think sometimes we as Christians say we give up too early. I think we give up sometimes too early. Oh, he'll never be. I don't know. We've tried. Oh, even family members. I had a cousin. I said, I'd swear he'd never become a Christian. Now he's as faithful as anybody. But, you know, if we don't, let's don't give up. Let's keep trying. Let's keep, you know, it's worth every penny if we just keep trying on individuals. No, we're not going to be successful. And every time God, you know, it's in God's plan. God, you know, we were talking in class earlier. It's God's plan. He has a plan for everybody in life. And thank you all for just letting me be here. I love to just vent and tell, and I could go on forever. And this worship service has just been amazing. And I just thank y'all. I feel like I'm at home. But maybe today there is someone that, you know, that isn't a Christian. You need to be. You need to leave. You need to leave this place a Christian. I've already told you, if you're visiting, you know what you got to do right now. Or if you, you know, need the prayers of the church, I know they'll pray with you. Whatever your need, I guess we'll stand and sing a song.